here we go. What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
I am Rich.
And I'm Mike.
And we want to thank everyone out there for listening to our show.
Thanks.
You can follow us on all social media if you head over to Life's a Binge across all social media platforms. As places like Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook.com/Life's a Binge. You can email us at lifesabinge@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail line at 619-438-0532.
Call me now.
Call me now for your free reading at 619-438-0532. Miss Cleo. Classic, man. Classic shit. And if you would like to support our show, you can become a subscriber over at patreon.com/lifesabinge. Become a producer like Big Daddy Moneybags or Todd the Rowe or Jess Jansen or Kathy Weintraub. Or you can become a couch potato like BJ, Jared, David, and Mikey P.
Yeah, three-way high five here. Not you, Rich.
Not you, Rich. Rich sucks.
I'm left out.
But all that being said, let's go ahead and start the episode by taking a big inhalation of breath while BJ coughs. Life's a binge.
This show's ridiculous.
I'm good with that.
Right?
You can't make me laugh.
What's up?
What's up?
I don't believe that. I think we can.
Well, then I can't inhale.
That's what Clinton said.
He said a lot of things.
That was stupid.
I smoke weed, but
bulletproof.
I didn't inhale. Clinton's hard. It's hard to
especially
do
if he's so far removed
he is
from.
I loved it. That's all I care about.
It was good. I don't have like I should get like an uproarious applause
laugh track.
Exactly. Because I was like, that was a good one. But the only joke button I have.
Yeah.
I could have done this.
That's the joke.
That's awesome. That one's pretty good. Oh, man. What's up, everyone? How's everyone doing?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah? Work.
I just got back from New Orleans today.
Oh.
Well,
the big sleazy.
The big sleazy.
And you were doing headshots over
headshots
there?
Headshots. Yeah. At a conference.
I saw your Instagram. Were you making people laugh?
60 humans. Yeah.
Just making people laugh. You're good at this.
Yeah.
You should keep doing this. You're good. It's like,
can
yeah,
do.
I'm doing it now.
So, which is funny because all that was on day two when we were both, like me and the other guy, we were exhausted already from the first day. And because we went out on the first night too, because he'd never been to New Orleans. So I'm like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, let's do this.
Oh, man. Down Bourbon Street. 3-for-1 drinks, brother. I'm like,
okay.
That is so economical. I can't say no.
Right. I'll take 6.
So like on day two, like we set up and we're starting. We're supposed to start at 10 a.m. And people are already, because after the first day, the word gets out. And we're like, oh, this is fun. It's good. And it's free for the attendees. Like, because it was a financial conference and Morgan Stanley is the company that hired us. So they've paid for everyone.
Do they have any money?
Wow. So people can just walk
people
up.
Need it.
They have some dollars.
Yeah, Morgan Stanley has a couple bucks to toss around.
A few dollars.
Yeah.
A few dollars. And almost everyone needs it, like, which is weird. Like when you're in the professional sector and you like these people use this service where they have to have their face on it, and there's like, you know, the default like gray non-human
right
symbol.
Silhouette.
Like
yeah.
You don't have a photo, so we're just gonna put that on there. It's like, don't be the kid in your book who didn't submit a photo.
Yeah.
Like,
photo not
come
available.
On, you're a professional.
Yes.
So, yeah, and they the value for them is amazing. But on the second day, like, I was wiped out. And like, all right, it's time to force it. And I turned it all the way up. It turned out really well. By the middle of the day, I was firing. But
nice.
I love being in that city. I just can't eat I couldn't eat like that all the time.
No more jambalaya.
So much. It's just butter. Everything is a vehicle for butter.
Nice.
Now you wonder if like there's like a real strong healthy food market there because people are just like, I gotta have this, these greens and like vegetables and stuff.
I don't know, man.
I wonder. Just
there might be
because it does. It just weighs on you like after a while. Because
everything, I just feel slower. Yeah. Like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do anything after I eat.
Just take it easy.
The best fried chicken I've ever had in my life. Next to my mother's. Sorry, Mom. She's not listening to this anyway. She won't
right.
know.
Better than Mom's. No. I said it.
No, it wasn't better.
Nice. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
so
that's
when you go out there, you bring all your stuff, right? Or do you have like a travel kit that's like half your stuff?
All the stuff.
Dang.
So I had a Pelican case that was like the not the biggest one that you can get, but a pretty fucking big Pelican case.
Damn.
Yeah.
Can you, that's just like a secure case, like a hard side?
Yeah, it's thing. A hard case.
Can you check anything? Or is it weight
restriction?
That's a good question.
I think there's a weight restriction, but it's like if you pay, like,
right.
like they'll just charge you.
Because I've never checked a gigantic bag full of photography equipment, which I imagine yeah. weighs a shitload. Like,
I mean, the case itself. So I have like my backpack, right?
Right.
It has like the camera and my tripod attached to it and like lenses and shit like that. And the case only has lights and the soft boxes in it, and which by themselves aren't super heavy. The case is probably heavier than
the
things.
The stands
are.
And all that, though. No, I guess
so. I had the stands in a different, like a long bag, so they're not all in the same thing.
That's crazy. Still, that's crazy. Yeah. And you probably have check, or do you bring like a carry on with your clothes and stuff?
Yeah, so I like a carry on with all my clothes. And all
yeah,
that.
That's crazy.
Keep calm.
Oh, the logistics.
Yeah.
Do you write all that stuff off? Can you write all that stuff off? Right, like. Travel and all that stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, I didn't pay for any of this stuff. This is all the company. I handle all that, so I don't have to worry about that.
Gotcha.
But when I do it myself, yeah, I write all that off.
Word.
And all your meals too.
Like, I'm gonna check everything off and check these bags, please.
Unless they give me a per diem, which we both had a. I won't tell you how high it was. But we had a very large per diem.
Nice.
Because he didn't know. He'd never been to New Orleans. He wasn't sure about like the food prices. I was like, food here is real cheap, like super cheap. So we had way more than we needed. So we went to a few restaurants a day, not just one.
Don't mind if I do.
Yep. Give me that gumbo.
That's right. BJ, what'd you do, man?
Recovered. Sat around.
Sat on your ass and...
Well, you know, we're doing it's going so good. Kane's gone.
I would say I'll note that BJ did not bring a cane to the car today.
Nice.
Kane's gone.
Do you have physical therapy or...
I have physical therapy. Oh, dude comes to the house.
Oh, nice.
A couple times a week. We've been bumping up the exercises and so now... the early exercises have been like phased out and I've been upgraded to some more serious ones, which are good. I'm a little sore.
Yeah.
A little bit sore, but it's good. And I'm going to be sore.
Do you have to do the other side or no? The other side's
what
fine.
Do you mean?
Your hip, your other hip.
Well, you do just for balance and stuff. And
no, I mean, like, you don't have to have surgery on it, right? Or
not imminently. I'm almost surely will.
Gotcha.
Later down the line.
But it's not painful nearly as bad as the other one.
Not nearly.
Right.
Not nearly. Like, I feel it. And it's funny because, like, as I'm getting close to, like, the surgery, which seemed to just take forever to get here. Like, it seemed like it took forever to get
here.
And just as I'm getting to it and trying to deal with that, with the constant pain in that leg and hip.
You start to feel a tickle on the other side.
Yes, a little twinge. I'm like, mother God. Yeah, dang it. But, hey.
Hey, BJ, I'm over here, too, and I hurt as well.
Right. But you can see it.
I want to be shiny and new.
Yeah, you can see it on the x-rays, like how one side is just so much better. But, man, walking and having my legs at the same length, I just never.
Weird.
It is, yeah. I never appreciated that until I had 2 years of it at different lengths. And so people on the block are just like, Look at you.
Yeah.
Like, just walking good, walking clean.
It's so cool.
It feels great. So
it makes me so happy.
And then I got a gig Saturday night. So I will have had it on Saturday by the time this airs. So it's going good. It's going good.
Life's starting to become normal again.
Yes. And you email for my Christmas dolphin shows, like the script and everything, which we've done the last couple of years.
Oh.
It shouldn't be too hard, but
nice.
Yeah, and I'll be a friend of Santa again, but I'll be doing the dolphin show more. So,
friend of Santa. There was somebody in like one of the actor groups that I follow that was looking for friends of Santa, and I was like, maybe.
I enjoy it.
Maybe
I enjoy it. I don't enjoy the glue.
Right.
So friend of Santa means to those not
Santa
in the know.
Claus.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's Santa Claus.
Right.
Yeah.
But
ho ho ho.
So
Merry Christmas.
So the podcasts that are like been like on the back burner with SeaWorld forever.
Oh yeah.
Now.
Mm.
Our boy Wyatt is leaving SeaWorld.
Today's his last day.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Bye. I found that out like just earlier this week.
By choice?
Yes, he's going to. He got essentially the same job at Legoland.
Oh.
So he's moving. It
seems
just,
like he sees the writing on the wall,
along with about a bazillion other people. Like, and it's kind of depressing. And so, there's some things that like, KPBS right now is having they pitch new podcasts and new content ideas every 2 years, and so this is one of those years. And so by the end of this month. If you could write up a good proposal for something, that's an option.
Yeah.
And so I'm tempted to kind of write up a proposal to do one about SeaWorld and the zoo kind of and have the ends on both of them and do a thing about the impact on the community. And hopefully SeaWorld will agree to give me
permission.
Yes. And full access.
Right.
And all that stuff. And hopefully the zoo would too. But I'd have to talk to them about it first. So that might be an angle. SeaWorld should still do their own. They should just absolutely do their own.
Podcasts are the thing.
Yeah.
Like they're the thing.
And just an opportunity to get out what you want to say, you know, and get out what the message you want to get out to people in a long form format. It's a no brainer. So, but Wyatt was kind of my main guy in the corner. So that was like a little bit like, oh, well,
is there a replacement for Wyatt?
No.
You're going to post it and interview people.
Yeah, I don't know who would do it.
Crazy time.
Maybe Heather. Yeah. Maybe. She's been there forever. But she's kind of reluctantly taken every position of authority that she ever has.
Right.
She's like, all right, I guess I'll do it.
Heather sounds like me.
Yeah. I guess.
Right.
Oh, boy. You're okay.
But, you know, there are some players in there where I'm like, if they become the – so Rick is coming back to caretake the position.
Yeah, the interim or whatever.
Yeah, and then we'll see what happens. And I don't think Rick is going to green light anything while he's here.
Yeah.
So we'll see. If I could sit down with Marilyn, you know, if Marilyn's still here.
Right.
So we had a CEO. We had a CEO who quit.
Yep.
And I had no idea that this was our CEO. Like, I had zero idea. I was like, that's our CEO?
Who?
Like, exactly. It's depressing.
Gone.
It's super depressing.
Who?
Yeah. Egg?
True.
It's Anne.
Is she funny?
It's Anne. Oh, yeah. You. Hey, you.
Oh, man.
So anyway.
Yeah.
But it's going good. I'm recovering and having moments of – what's good is, like, exercising and kind of – because I've been getting progressively weaker – for the last several years.
Right.
Like, I just can't do anything to get strong or maintain any strength.
Right.
And so this rehab is a good strengthening process. And doing that and getting into your body a little bit more is inspiring.
Oh, yes.
So I'm hoping I could ride that because I definitely have, like, a lot more motivation and inspiration when that happens. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that
turn it into good habits as opposed to recovery mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to, like, get strong.
Right.
So I have to do these things to get strong and hopefully, like, I can kind of ride that momentum into, you know, getting really
keeping
strong.
Keeping it regular. Yeah, exactly.
And getting, you know, getting even thinner, like getting down to like levels that I haven't.
Thinner. Nice.
Big callback.
Yeah. Get down to Seattle riding the bike every day, thin, you know.
Ah, yes. The thin days.
Yep.
Good times.
I'm going to start running through the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I don't get out as much anymore. I'm not walking the dog anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good point.
I realized that the other day. I was like, man, I haven't really moved a lot today.
Weird. Oh,
because you just walk the dog twice a day.
Yeah, every day. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I need to run.
Right?
Ugh, you might see
running.
Me, BJ. You're running. It's the worst.
It is
but
the worst.
It's like one of the best things you can do, but it's the
it's
worst.
So good for you, but it's the worst.
I hate it. Yeah.
Running is the Brussels sprouts of exercise.
like Brussels
except
sprouts.
I love Brussels sprouts.
No, I like right. Brussels sprouts.
Running is the lima beans of exercise.
Yeah, it's okay. There you go.
What's the pizza of exercise? Tennis, I guess?
Like yes.
Tennis is actually really fun.
Tennis basketball. Is super fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to do stuff. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
It's funny that like you don't think you're working out when you're playing tennis, and you're like, wait, this is just constant cardio. This is crazy. Yeah, it's fun. I like tennis. I rode a bird scooter for the first time.
Did you ride
on.
I did not because I'm not an idiot.
Good job. a lot of people do.
I was downtown, too, so it was scary. It was scary down there. But yeah. And then it wouldn't let me it was the first time, so I was like, here we go. And then it wouldn't let me park. And I was like, wait, I want to end. And it's like, you have to move it. And I was like, but but I, what?
You're in like a non-movement zone.
Or something. And then I was like trying to figure it out because, again, I'd never done it before. Yeah. And like it's supposed to be super intuitive. And so I was like, how do I stop this thing from continually to charge my card?
That happened to me when I was meeting Lindsay for lunch.
And I was like, what the hell? And like I parked it next to where all the other ones were parked. And I was like, okay, that's clearly where I should leave it. And it's like, take a picture. And then I took a picture of it. And then it was like, you can't park here. Move the thing. And I was like, okay. So then I had to like basically like go away from my destination. I'm like, what's the fucking point of this? And so I texted the thing. It was like contact. And I was like, it won't let me stop my ride or whatever. It's like, well, you're in a spot where you can't. And I was like, well, why are all these other ones here?
Yeah.
It's like, what? And so it was dumb. I mean, it was really convenient. It got me where I needed to be.
Yeah.
In a very economic way.
Because we're beyond the Wild West of scooters. So now like all the rules, not all the rules, but a lot more rules are in place. So I was riding to meet Lindsay for lunch at like the Carnitas down on the Embarcadero, right? And too close to the Embarcadero is a no ride zone.
Yeah.
But like if you have momentum, like you could still get into the zone.
Well, mine
once
didn't
you're there,
slow down at all.
Once you're there, it's just like,
oh really? Like it automatically
like throttles you to like 3 miles an hour or something.
Really? I'm like, but I gotta move it somewhere to park it, and I have to like walk it because you won't let me turn
it
on
anymore. Right.
And it's like geared, so it's like,
exactly.
You got to push against it.
That's
to,
exactly
like,
right.
It sucked. But so anyway, it was on Sunday, last Sunday, and there was the Prego Expo at the convention center.
Huh?
It's like the...
They're just words that I don't like.
The bunch of...
Prego is one. It so was Preggers.
I'm Preggers.
It was,
Anyway.
Pregante.
It was the...
Pregnant.
It was in Hall A of the convention center. And it's just a bunch of vendors like, buy this for your baby or whatever.
Yeah.
And Samantha was a volunteer because she wanted the free VIP shit.
Uh-huh.
And if you volunteer, you get the free stuff. And then she's like, but we can walk it when I'm done or whatever. And I was like, we just see. I'm like, I don't care. It's fine by me. And so she had to be there at 9. And I was like, well, are you going to drive? Are you going to take the trolley? Like, what's the plan? And she's like, I don't know. I'm probably going to drive. And then you can just meet me down there. And I was like, that's dumb. I'll just drive you down there and then park somewhere and go to Jolton Joe's and sit there and watch the morning football and drink a couple beers. And then.
Smart.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice morning.
It was fantastic. And like, I was like one of the first people in there. So I like got primo seating at the bar. And I was like, okay, make a different game on all of these TVs. And he's like, really? And I was like, yes. So I had like 6 games like right in front of me. And I was like, this is the best.
Yes. I did that with True North on Sunday.
Yeah.
Have you done that yet, BJ?
Not yet. Maybe this Sunday.
All the games, BJ. All of
fun.
All of the games.
I think maybe this Sunday.
Every game.
It was fun.
So far, like on Sundays, the games, there have been games that I want to watch have come on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been all right. Like I would have liked to watch the Bears.
I watched them.
Fantastic comeback.
Mm-hmm. I watched all of them. But then I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. And like it was right when the Charger game was ending, and I was like, these guys are pissing me off, something royal.
That game.
And I was like, okay, game's over. And so I hopped on a bird scooter, and I was like, time to go to the convention center now. And it like I rode it all the way to the convention center. And then it's like the whole thing went – it never slowed down. It never slowed down. And then I parked it, and I was like, you can't park here. And I was like, okay. And then I tried to move it like across the street where the other ones were parked.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't park here. And then when I texted the guy, I was like, it won't let me end. He's like, well, you have to go somewhere outside of the zone. And I was like, what's the zone? And he's like, it's on the app. And I'm like, I can't stare at my phone while I'm riding this fucking scooter. Like, what do you mean out of the zone?
Not only that, like, you can't take a hand off. Like, for me.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, how am I supposed to know where this zone is if I'm not looking at my phone?
I can just now ride with one hand.
I don't feel safe at all. Like,
it's like they should have little clips on there.
I only do it if I'm going
to put your phone so that way you can tell where you're supposed to be.
That would be handy.
Brilliant.
Yes. mm-hmm. because somebody like me that doesn't know what the fuck I'm doing. It was just like, what?
But then again, for those, I feel like you need to be watching because the wheels are so small.
Yeah, I'll stop.
Like, if you hit anything, you're going down. So,
but at least you could glance at it when you're going to stop to be like, not here, got it, move across the street or whatever.
Right.
But it was dumb. But in their defense, it was like a $7 thing, and they were like, we'll give you $3 credit. And I was like, cool.
Okay.
Thanks, Bert.
I don't know if I'm ever going to use this thing again because I'm never downtown.
Did you use which app did you use?
Bird.
Yeah. So I have a beef with Bird.
There was Bird, Lime, Lyft. There was something called Wheels that looked like a little bike.
I've never used any of them, but Bird.
So the Lyft scooters are faster.
Oh.
And they have better brakes because they have a wheel brake too.
Do you just use the regular Lyft app?
Yeah.
Because I pulled it up here because I was like, oh, I wonder if there's scooters in around here. And they couldn't. There was nowhere on the app that showed scooters.
So if you open, I'll do it right now for you. If you open the app. Yeah, it's opening.
This
it's
is open, riveting. Open, but anyway, so
podcasting.
It was
on the
cool.
bottom, it'll say scooters. And you click that.
Huh.
And then it pops up.
It was cool that they gave me a $3 credit, though. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's cool. Like,
and they're fun.
Because it was frustrating. It was. And it was like legit. I got from Jolton Joe's. Which isn't too far away, but over to the convention center in no time at all.
The closest Lyft scooter to you is an 88-minute walk away.
Yeah, it's probably downtown.
It's in Lemon Grove.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So anyway, but it was like, hey, this is cool. Like, it's super convenient.
Oh, but the Bird beef. That's what it is. The Bird beef is that if you've been using it, I don't know if they did this to you, but if you've been using it for a while, they changed the business model where you used to just get charged, you know, your $1 or $2 or whatever, how long the ride was. Now you have to like preload a certain amount of money into the app. Like, give us $20, and then you'll use that $20.
It tried
over time.
To make me do
like,
that.
Maybe it did that to me because shit. I noticed that like I got charged $10, and I was like, wait a minute, ride was not $10.
It tried to make me do that because I scanned the thing like you're supposed to, and it's like start your ride, and then it was like when I hit start your ride, it like popped up, and it was like $5, $10, $20.
Yeah,
and I was like. What? I was like, no, it says it's like 20 cents a minute or whatever. And I was like, this is weird. And then at the very bottom in like a hyperlink said something like, no, thanks, just pay for this ride or something. And I was like, I'm going to click that because it gives you the option to like in your face to
Trixie
load up some
and
money.
False.
Yes. That's the bird skirtles. So I just clicked, no, thanks, I'll pay for this ride. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was good times. And then we didn't win anything at the raffle. I got very, very bummed.
Boo.
There was like, we're going to raffle off these like travel packs of like $400 worth of strollers and car seats and stuff. And I was like, ooh, and we got like two numbers away. And I was like, God damn it. But we didn't win. But yeah, it was fun. That's what I did.
When you said travel pack, it made me think of, I know you just hit the button, so we're just going to make this go as long as possible.
No, I don't care.
A lot of people now do a baby moon.
What's
like
that?
They do like... Like, they travel, like, while the woman is pregnant, and they'll go somewhere, like, we're going to have a nice trip before, like...
Like a honeymoon.
We're trapped in the house for the next, however how many months.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of cash.
Yeah, most people don't.
It would be nice.
But people do that. I'm like,
if you would have won that raffle, you would have that much more that you're not going to spend on.
True that.
On shit.
True story.
Everybody bring Jared diapers.
Yes, please. Or just give us money. So that's the thing. We don't know how to just, like, register for money.
Dollars, please.
It's like, see, because Samantha's not going to be working for, like, 3 months, and we need to pay our rent. So can you just, like, give us some money? it'd be cool to have, like, 4 strollers, but we really could just use the $200 that you're going to spend on that to go towards our rent for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with that now. Like, haven't worked for a month.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm thinking like, but like we're had a good summer, so and there might be some state money coming in, so we'll see.
Oh, we're starting to save
looking,
up.
Looking
and
to that,
she's sure. already looking into trying.
There should be some stuff for that,
and she's going to be getting like some disability something, but it's like a minimal percent of what you get anyway. Yeah, we're looking into it all, but it's like we could just use some cash, please,
because
the stuff we're saving is going to be gone in a month when we're like, oh shit, we got to buy everything.
Yeah.
And diapers are expensive. And, like, I really am looking into, like, cloth diapers, and everyone's like, boo. And, like, we saw some at this thing where I'm like, these look way good.
It's
like,
not that – so I don't have a child, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. But all the people that I talk to about it, it's because so many of the parents try, like, yeah, let's do the cloth diapers. And it's like, I just want something I can slap on there because you're changing
like four
or five times a day.
Right.
Like, what are you going to get, like – 60 cloth diapers to wash, yeah. and make a perfect rotation of laundry.
Which is what you're supposed to do.
They have services. They have services.
Yeah, yeah,
I know. Where you just literally put it on your porch and they come and pick it up.
But it's like when you're already exhausted from everything else, it's just so much easier to just put one on you and throw that away.
I know, but everything in me, the environmentalist in me, the economist in me, all the things, I'm like,
I don't disagree with that.
But it's so much easier.
Yeah.
It's just like disposable straw. It's so much easier. Just put, dude. So just totally random. But while I was downtown before the bar opened, at 9 o'clock, I went to Starbucks because the bar wasn't open yet.
Well, no,
so you know when you're waiting for the bar to open?
If you'd gone to the Star Bar, it would have been
open. So I went to Starbucks, and I got an iced coffee like I always do. And instead of the normal lid with the hole where you punch the straw in, it's just the normal coffee cup lid with the drink spout on it. And I'm like, finally. Morons, it took you this long.
A hard paper?
No, it's a plastic lid, but it's got a little
But it has, it looks just like a disposable coffee cup lid with a oval shaped sip hole in it.
Sippy cup.
And I was like, yeah, thanks. This is all I needed ever. I don't need a straw. So it's nice to know that downtown San Diego is actually, trying. Anyway.
Life's a bitch.
Why do I do that every time?
Nope.
God.
That's
someone else needs to run this iPad.
This just in.
Who runs this iPad? News. Did anybody here watch? Did anybody here watch Boyhood?
The movie?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
You did.
I did. Isn't that Soderbergh or something?
Yep.
Linklater.
And he's filmed it over 12 years.
Yeah.
Well, Linklater is not satisfied with that.
Yeah,
he's going to continue it?
He is going to film Merrily We Roll Along, for us musical theater nerds who have seen and heard of that, over the next 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was something about Boyhood that was kind of endearing.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
But he's 76.
I know he's gonna
die. Shit!
He's never gonna make it.
He's an old guy. And I don't want to. That's morbid.
No.
But that's ambitious.
That's very realistic. I mean,
ambitious. Well, and it's something you should think about.
We have 40 minutes of good stuff so far. And regrettable that.
I don't know Ben Platt. I can't think of anything that he's been in that I remember off the top of my head.
From Dear Evan Hansen, the musical, and.
But
he
Beanie
was, he was in the Book of Mormon on Broadway. He was on a show. God, what show was he on? I want to say it was a Nickelodeon thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But anyway, he was on TV.
Excited to see Beanie Feldstein do stuff because she was in Booksmart and she's...
Yeah. Oh, he's going to be in the new Netflix show called The Politician, which looks real good.
Yeah.
Where he's dead set on being the president of the United States, but it's starts with him in high school trying to be class president and how his shadiness starts in high school.
Interesting.
Yeah. It looks really good, but he's in that. Good. Yeah. I like it. It's coming out on Netflix.
Right on.
Yeah.
In other news, parents file complaint over It Chapter 2 posters terrifying their young children.
That's funny.
I was like, because they're giant, billboard sized stuff. And I've seen most of these, and they're not.
It's just Pennywise.
That bad.
Scary. Scary clown.
It's a scary clown.
Whoop-de-whoop.
I get it. It's a scary clown.
Right.
But maybe, I don't know. Suck it up.
It's no worse than the Child's Play poster where there's a creepy doll holding a big ass butcher knife covered
big
in blood.
Eyes covered in blood, yeah.
What's the difference? Get over yourselves, people.
I'm kind of coming back around on the whole, we were sort of talking about this in the car on the way over, BJ, about just our sensibilities and people being, not wanting to say you shouldn't be so sensitive, but maybe people shouldn't be so sensitive. Come on, let scary movie posters be scary movie posters.
Don't be offended at everything. Excuse me, I'm offended that this scary movie poster scared my kid.
My child is terrified. He's having nightmares. Good. That's what children should do when they see something scary.
That's one of those get over it moments, people.
That reminds me of the Hannah Goldsby joke. I think that's her name, but she was a comedian and she had a special on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And she said, when Republicans or when Trump or something tell me to be to not be so sensitive mm-hmm. is like a nose being lectured by a fart.
That's pretty
Touché.
Good.
I was like, nice.
That's pretty good. I dig it.
I like
yeah,
it.
It's a good line.
Right on. I've got more. How many of us have seen Event Horizon in this room?
Me.
Me.
That terrifying. So
that I've, movie,
that crazy like orgy
terrifying.
Of death and horror. At the end.
So it's not so bad like now, like when you're a little bit.
I haven't
older,
seen it in a minute.
Desensitized,
yeah.
And a little bit more girded. But when I saw it with my dad on, yeah. We were on vacation in Hawaii. It was like the last night. It's like, what are we gonna do? Like we've already like been all over the beach, like boogie boarding, like all that stuff. And so, let's go watch this movie. It's got Lawrence Fishburne and it's sci-fi. This will be awesome.
Oh, Sam Neill, sweet.
And we were like two of the only people in the theater. It was utterly terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you look around and you just see darkness around you because there's just not that many people there. And then the movie is what the movie is. Apparently, deleted scenes were discovered.
Oh, yes.
In a salt mine.
Weird.
What? Huh? Wait a minute.
What are they, like find, E.T. Exactly the video like, game, this thing? Or
apparently
what?
This used to be a thing. This used to be a thing. They would store old footage in salt mines. But apparently this was too degraded to actually watch.
Oh.
Which just makes me think about, like, the horrific, like...
The imagery would be worse.
Right,
way,
the imagery
yeah.
would be worse if you actually watch it the way... And apparently that's what it is, because they filmed the, you know, the whole message that gets decoded towards the end. They finally see what it is, and it's all gruesome and gory and, like, hellscape-ish and fantastic. Apparently they filmed... like four times as much of that footage, but
wow.
I only used a little bit of it for the movie. I'm like, I don't ever want to see that. I don't ever need to see that footage.
That's easy pass.
And then just never sleep again.
Right.
I do love that movie.
Man,
I love that movie mostly because there's no like, ooh, let's explore. Ooh, he just goes, no, fuck this ship. We're leaving.
Yep.
Like, yes.
Yep.
That is yes,
the plan.
That is the correct thing to do. Get out of there.
Man. I haven't seen that movie in a long
it's
time.
Been a while. Yeah.
I do love it. I haven't seen it in a while either.
It's just another one of it's like why Alien's so scary is because like you're already in this weird spaceship and it's like, okay, where do we go?
Creeping dread.
We have
exactly.
nowhere to
the,
go.
Yeah,
we're in
dread.
Space. We can't go anywhere. We're stuck on this fucking haunted ghost crazy spaceship.
And no one can hear you scream.
It's true.
In space.
Right.
We don't need where we're going. We don't need eyes to see. Oh, fuck you, Sam Neill. Disgusting.
Oh, it's good times.
Finally, and... I kind of can believe this is happening.
Yes.
Sean Bean is tired of dying, so he's now rejecting roles where his character gets killed.
Can I live once?
Good for you, Sean Bean.
Even as a hashtag, don't kill me.
That's so funny. I watched Patriot Games recently.
I watched National Treasure.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
He dies in both of them.
He sure
does. He does.
Well, oh. Does he die
he
in it?
Die
like
in
you that. Don't really know. They yeah. kind of like leave it. Kind of up to, anyway.
and James, I love Sean Bean.
I saw Sean Bean. There's a post of like everything coming to Disney Plus. I think I shared it in the
you did
oh,
yes
yeah.
in the chat.
That's a long list. It is everything.
Super duper long.
It's basically everything,
all
and it's not
things.
Just like Disney stuff. There's stuff like some of the Fox movies are there, and like totally random stuff, and like
some of this old stuff too.
A lot of the old stuff, like That Darn Cat and Cat from Outer Space and The Love Bug and all
the old
Jungle
classics
Book. And yeah,
no
all
Song
the movies,
of the South.
Right.
Oh.
I was hoping for that.
Well, and then I was looking and I was
sorry,
like,
Uncle
I was
Venus.
Like, Avengers: Age of Ultron, Avengers: Infinity War, Avengers: Endgame. I was like, how come they don't have Avengers on here? But then I got to the T section.
Exactly.
And it's the this, the this, the yeah. this, the,
that's,
the,
that's
the,
why
the,
I was like, man.
There's so many these in the, like, Disney
oh, yeah.
movie
that.
World.
Me
I was like,
either.
It should be up at the top.
It should yeah. absolutely be there.
It's an Avengers comma the if you're going to do that at all.
Yeah.
But no.
Because I was looking for the black hole. I was like, ooh, the black hole. I really
yeah.
want to, it's been a long time since
yeah.
I want to see that and
oh,
see if
boy.
It's as dark as
the,
I remember.
And the black cauldrons on there, too, and, like,
yeah.
all sorts of stuff. And then I was like, where's, like, DuckTales? How come that's not on here? And then I was like, oh, this is just the movies
yeah.
list. And then you scroll all to the bottom, and it's like, TV shows. And it's like, holy crap, dude.
Tailspin?
Tailspin.
Yes.
Chippendales Rescue Rangers.
Tailspin is
dope. Did you ever watch the show Bonkers?
Yes.
I loved Bonkers. Yeah. And Samantha's like, what's Bonkers? And I was like, well, he's a cheetah, but he's a cop. Yeah. And she's like, what? And I was like, yeah.
It's Bonkers.
It's Bonkers. It's totally bonkers. So great.
Is that a video game, too?
It was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. It's probably terrible now, but it was one of my favorite shows. And I was like, ooh, that's on there. All this stuff is on there. And then I'm like, ooh, Gummy Bears, Gummy Bears, Gummy Bears. Nope. Gummy Bears is not on there. It's not on the list.
Oh, I was going to say, they probably don't. Who owns SWAT Cats? Ooh, I would give anything to see SWAT Cats again.
Oh, but Gargoyles is on
there. Gargoyles is on there. Yep.
Gargoyles is the
shit. But see, why do they have Gargoyles when they don't have Gummy Bears? And Samantha was like, Gummy Bears? And I was like, yeah, you know, one of the best TV theme songs of all time.
Did we play that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Because you. Yes, exactly.
You know? Yeah, it's still,
and she's like, is that Disney? And I was like, the title card says Disney's The Gummy Bears. Oh, maybe it's under The. I didn't even. Maybe I didn't scroll down that far.
I'll double check.
Yeah. I thought it was just Gummy Bears. Not.
I think it's Disney's The Gummy Bears.
Oh,
based on the title screen.
I'm looking up the and I don't see it.
It's not there. Fuck Disney. Of all the things, like they have everything else, and they don't have Gummy Bears.
It's quite a bit there.
I'm gonna tweet it. Yeah. So I'm.
But
like,
what they don't have I'm is a lot of new original programming. So that's remember we were talking about like. Why Netflix has to put out so much original programming.
But they're going to have the Star Wars stuff. They're going to have the Marvel shows. Like, all that's already locked in.
They will. I think that's one thing why Netflix will be ahead of them for a little while. Yeah. Is just the...
For sure. The amount
the
of
dearth,
stuff.
Yeah,
for
just
sure.
The incredible amount of content that they've been putting out.
But the stuff that they're going to have that you can't get anywhere else is like, this is cool. And like, just the fact that everything else is on there, it's like, score.
The stuff they are going to have, like the new content they'll have, like what's that production value going to be? Like,
I wonder.
Right.
I wonder.
Like,
they got that Disney money backing.
They have Disney money. Everything could be fucking Game of Thrones level production values for all we know. It'd be insane.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
I'm just glad that I've already given them my money and I don't have to think about it or like debate. Do I want it? Do I not? Like, I already signed up, so I'm like, score. And then when I saw that list, I was like, okay. That was justified for $140 for 3 years of all this. Like, okay.
And how much is it going to be?
I don't know how much it is standalone.
Let me look up.
$7.99.
Because like Netflix is now $10.99, right?
More.
$12.99.
It's like, yeah.
$11.99.
And speaking of news and Netflix, sorry to interrupt. But they... I got a message for the first time. I turned it on, and I clicked on something to watch, and it was like, sorry, your account's being used by too many people. And I was like, what? You guys are finally on to this shit?
Nah.
And it was like,
you could pay
you could retry or like kick somebody off, or it's like add 4 screens for $3 more.
Right.
And I was like, I'm just going to let whoever's watching their thing finish, and I'll watch something later. But it was the first time I saw it. Anyway.
I think I've seen that, too.
But yeah, go ahead with the – you're saying something.
Was I saying something about something?
You're saying you know, they raised their price
started
up.
And things, yeah.
I think you're going to say how much it was. Yeah,
yeah I'm curious how much it's going to be. I'll definitely
a month or $69.99 a year.
Yeah.
I'll definitely try it for a month at a time. And then, if, you know, because that's less than
– I'm just wondering, like, what's out there that you would want –
Black hole. I want to see
well,
that.
Well, can't you just buy that for
it's
$10?
Not that easy. Yeah, it's not.
I'm sure you can just buy it for $10.
I don't know if I want it that much.
Jeff Goldblum.
Or rent it for
for
$2.99 on Amazon.
Yeah, $4.99 or something like that.
Instead
of
paying the company you hate monthly for like one thing you want to watch.
This
but,
is a perfect,
you know,
a perfect segue into the next thing I have to.
Oh, yeah,
go ahead.
Streaming talk.
I got nothing more.
Netflix is considering paying out bonuses for successful films. Ooh. So, like, if a Netflix original film has, like, a lot of viewership, they're considering giving bonuses to the actors, directors, crew.
But why would they do that when 45 million people watch their movies? Like Bird Box.
78 million
people
watch Bird Box.
How 45 million people watch Bird Box?
Remember how forgettable Bird Box is? Tell me something about Bird Box.
Don't move your... Don't look. Whatever I say, don't look.
I remember just going, this is freaking Quiet Place. Except
without looking
but not.
Right.
It's a poor man's Quiet Place.
Yeah.
I just
the dark trailer this is the dark place.
I just saw another trailer for a new Netflix original called Tall Girl. Anybody see the trailer for this?
Tall Girl?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's like a high school girl who's like 6'1".
Yes.
And like
I saw that.
How life sucks if you're a tall girl.
I'm kind of into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's the character. It's like the Ducky character from like 16 Candles. He's like, I've loved this girl since we were forever. And yeah. It's like, obviously she's not going to choose you, dork. She's going to choose the exchange student. That's the story. It's going to be 16 Candles, but instead of like a nerdy outcast, she's tall.
Right.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yep. Right.
It's like,
you're not sure
there's it's a niche market.
I'm sure there's a lot of good messages and stuff in there about acceptance and loving yourself and all this stuff. But it's like, isn't this just 16 Candles, but like new and probably less rapey?
Like, let's hope so.
Oh, yeah, let's definitely hope.
My very last piece of news, which will upset everyone in the universe, is the whisperings and mumblings of a remake.
It's never
of The Princess Bride by Sony.
I'm all in.
I've never hated you more.
Now that's what I've been waiting for.
What's so funny is that everyone's up in arms about this, and the actual story is the Sony executive was like an unnamed famous person was in passing having a random conversation where they were like, you know, it'd be kind of fun. Maybe would be like The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
So a throwaway comment about that'd be kind of fun. Maybe like not even saying like we're going to do it. Nothing confirmed, but just like a random in passing comment from an unnamed famous person. And the
Everyone's
internet
like,
has lost their fucking minds.
Absolutely not.
I wonder if that's
just stop scratching yourself. You're bleeding all over again.
I wonder if that's not how they just float stuff. You know, like they floated up the, you know, let's put it out there, see what the kind of results we get from the internet.
But the celebrity tweets were like the best.
Carrie always tweet was the best. He's like, there's a shortage of perfect movies in this world. It would be a pity to damage this one. I'm like, look at you using words from the movie.
It's true.
Jamie Lee Curtis is like, I married the six-fingered man and da-da-da-da-da, don't do it.
That's fantastic.
It was great.
I love
That's fantastic.
That's it. That's my name.
Good times for everyone.
Yay.
And that's the way it was.
With Rich and Lay.
Yeah, you remember that
I had to get in on it because I forgot my part.
You remembered that one. But we do have a movie review this week.
Oh.
So let's find out what Matt Warburton has to say.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hello there, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Well, with weddings in so many of our futures, I decided to watch possibly the worst wedding experience ever. So I saw the new horror comedy mystery called Ready or Not.
Oh, nice.
Ready or Not is the story of Grace, a young bride who marries the love of her life, Alex Ledomas. Now, Grace may realize that the Ledomas family made their huge wealth in the gaming industry. What she doesn't know is that on the wedding night of someone coming into the Ledomas family, they must play a game that is picked at random. Sometimes it's checkers, sometimes it's a card game. But unfortunately for this situation, Grace picks hide and seek. More unfortunately, this is the only game that has a murderous twist to it, where if the hider is found, they are killed. Grace finds herself from quite a joyous occasion to having to run, outsmart, and overcome this crazy killing game mogul family. So right off the bat, or rather turn of the century crossbow, I should say, this movie was a lot of fun. And weirdly enough, I haven't heard too much about it from people or too much marketing on it, which is a bit of a bummer. Everyone in this movie did really well, and they were all people who I was pretty unfamiliar with, other than Adam Brody and Andy McDowell. The performances were all really solid, especially coming from Grace, played by Samara Weaving. One notable thing from Samara Weaving is that she was in the Netflix movie The Babysitter, which is another big slasher, over-the-top comedy. I would 100% bet that movie won her this role, and she does amazing. I mean, holy crap, was she good. Way better than I would expect her to be in this movie. It was a silly slasher-type movie that got pretty gritty at times, and Samara really delivered. Usually it seems the case the studio just wants a pretty face to run around while everyone else tries to kill her. But Samara Weaving really plays the levels, from the playful wedding bliss to sudden shock and disbelief to complete horror, and of course, the action of, let's do this. Ready or Not was a lot of fun, but it wouldn't have the integrity that it had if it weren't for Samara Weaving. I don't know, I may be overselling it, but I was really impressed by her. Ready or Not stylistically feels like it's a mishmash of a bunch of different things, which isn't a bad thing. I can really see the influences. The atmosphere has a feeling of Clue, an old estate with a bunch of secret passageways, along with the mix of really dark and then also lighter tones, kind of like Hot Fuzz. And I even felt a little scotch of Cabin in the Woods as well. Also, some themes reminded me of Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. I definitely feel like there's a certain category that could be billowing up here that all these movies could be a part of. And Ready or Not definitely fits the mold. And just like Grace, this movie doesn't sit still. It takes twists and turns that keep you guessing. Now, here's the part where I'm a bad reviewer. Ready or Not is a great movie. I had a really fun time watching it. I enjoyed it from top to bottom. But for some reason, there was just something about it that keeps me from calling it an excellent movie. The bad part is, I can't put my finger on it. So it definitely feels like there are some blemishes somewhere. I just, for the life of me, can't name them. Which I know is a total cop-out. Sometimes that can be in the writing. I know personally, like, I can point out, like, if there's kind of some sloppy acting, or if there's, like, some kind of weird effects, or, like, music isn't selling it. But I'm not always super apt to pull out story and say, like, that's good, that's bad. So, hey, maybe it was a story and I didn't know it. But just something felt, I don't know, I dug the story. I thought it was nice. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, it didn't have the polished feel of a Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie that might make it a classic, but it also felt better than most slasher movies, and it has a lot more going on than most films in its genre. All in all, Ready or Not is just a lot of grim, messy fun. But that's just my opinion. I'd say take your loved one to the movies and really consider how important long-standing family traditions are, because hey, what do I know? Until next time, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know?
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment of What Do I Know?
Excellent. I really wanted to see that movie.
Yeah? When did that come out?
Yeah,
a little bit ago. Oh, really? Okay. It's a newer movie.
Yeah. You probably never heard
of it.
Yeah,
nope.
Exactly.
Never did.
It really looked interesting.
Yeah. The trailer looks funny. And at the end of it, like, why are you just standing there? Just shoot her. And then, like, the gun goes off and, like, blasts the person in the face. Like, it looks like it's going to be fun. It looks like a good, like, he said, horror comedy.
Fun
which
horror.
Is,
right on. Horror comedy's fun.
It's the best. It's one of the best genres because you're like, goo, that's scary. And then you get the weird endorphin rush. And then you start laughing. And you're like, okay, that's good.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. It's good times.
Yeah, I got a big, like, Death Becomes Her kind of vibe from the end. So
yeah.
Just like,
That movie doesn't get enough credit either. Death Becomes Her is great. Yeah.
Who is that now? The director?
I don't know the director. I was like, Goldie Hawn, Meryl Streep.
Back to the Future director?
Zemeckis?
I think so. But
looking it up now.
Yeah. It could be right.
Yeah.
I remember, just some special effects in there that were kind of... at the time, cutting edge.
Yeah, you could see right through her.
There's a hole through
right.
her, and the neck twisted all around.
Yeah.
Remember, it was a director that's of a little bit of repute.
Yeah, it was, I guess.
Nice. Well done, sir.
Boom! Sometimes, man, I just have stuff, and sometimes
Grand
I can't remember your name.
Right? It's Jared.
Jared. Yeah. Jared. Right. I knew that, Jared. Jared.
Right.
Let me just say it a few more times.
That's
Jared.
Okay.
Jared.
That's okay. But with that all being said, let's take a quick commercial break.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
It was a beautiful day, sun beat down, I heard the rain. Trees went by, me and Dale were singing, a little runaway, I was flying, yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me, working on a mystery, going wherever it leads.
impossible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
Yes,
I watched Detective Pikachu on the plane, on the way there.
Was it fun?
Yeah,
I bet
it was. It was a lot of fun.
I'm sure it's super predictable, and
yes,
yeah, in the secret of like whatever, because like I know something about the movie, but I'm like okay,
and I won't spoil that here for right. those who are curious and who want to watch the movie, but it's
super obvious.
So obvious.
Right.
Not only is it so obvious, but it's weird that the person who like discovers a secret later on in the movie doesn't know immediately.
Right.
Like it should have been obvious to even the character, not just to you, the audience, who quote unquote knows more.
Right.
So that part I'm like, what? But you know, it's Pokemon and they look good.
Right.
Like the effects look really good.
Is the
like, they look like they belong
the
in
the Lickitung extremely disturbing?
Quite. Okay. Yeah.
Lickitung?
Yeah. That's his name.
It's a Pokemon with a giant tongue and it like licks the guy on the face. And he's like, "Oh, who's?" And it's like he's just like riding the bus. He's like, "Whose Lickitung is this?" And it's just licking him.
Do they do a good job of explaining Pokemon at all, or is it like
they do,
or do they just like drop you in and it's like,
no,
look, there's Pokemon everywhere.
They do kind of drop you in, but it's done very organically because they set up they set up this particular place, like this particular city where the story takes place, as being sort of like a, like they don't do Pokemon battles here, like we don't quote unquote own the Pokemon,
sure.
Like we like coexist with them. So like with that, they have like, here's the way we do it. So they also describe the way that it's normally been done, so that you know
right
how Pokemon's supposed to go.
In a so, wonderful yeah. little scene of exposition.
Yeah, it's like as he's riding on the train, you see like a billboard or some shit, and it explains everything. Speaking of Zemeckis, my ringtone is the Back to the Future sound, which I love.
Classic.
Bam.
It's classic.
Yeah, it
Bam!
Was good. If you want to just have fun, yeah. you know, and then be somewhat maybe not surprised by the right. end of the movie, you'll enjoy it. I enjoyed it.
It looked like it was going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It would help if you were familiar with the kind of the Pokemon.
I don't think you need to be.
Okay.
No.
Because I like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know. Yeah, he's great. And
he can do no wrong.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Man, I love both the Deadpools so much.
Yes.
Just anytime it's on, like, I just watch it, 10 minutes worth, and I'm just, that is just
yeah.
so, and he's just so in his wheelhouse for that whole thing. It's just great. And the writing,
yep.
good stuff.
It's one of those, like, moments in movies where it's like, yeah, they nailed this one.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Across
yeah.
the board yeah. with the special effects, with the casting, with the writing,
too,
with, like, everything. Yeah.
He really wanted to get it done because he's like, yeah. they had me play some shitty version
yeah,
of Deadpool, and I want to do it right.
Yeah,
and he did.
That second, the second one, God, it's just so good.
Yeah.
And the kid, the one kid is maybe sometimes a little bit, like, his character's a little bit, like, not as likable, but they write enough good stuff for him
yeah.
and fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you moonwalking? Don't you moonwalk? So that's good stuff Ryan Reynolds does.
Yes. So. Yes, yes, yes.
I also watched
please.
X-Men Dark Phoenix.
I thought you already saw that, no?
I hadn't seen it.
And?
I wish I hadn't seen it.
It's as bad as they say.
This movie just didn't need to exist, honestly. Like, it didn't. And it's
got to be some good stuff, right?
Yeah. No. There's one. There's no. There's
the
one,
credits. Oh
no! There's one fight scene. There's a fight scene at the end. Okay, so at the beginning, there's like the X-Men, like, you know, using their powers and like saving people. And like, oh, this is really cool. Like, that's what you want to see in a superhero movie. Like, that part's cool. And at the very end, there's a really cool fight scene on a train. That's literally it.
Ugh.
The rest of the movie is absolute trash. And it starts with, you know, these movies. Like the second generation of X-Men movies, you know, they start in First Class in the Cuban Missile Crisis, right?
Yep.
And then, yeah, Days of Future Past, which takes place around, like, just after Vietnam, like yep. Richard Nixon and blah, blah, blah. And then you have Apocalypse, which takes place in the 80s. How old are these characters?
It's time travel,
Captain
dude.
Captain America old.
It's time travel, man.
Charles Xavier in X-Men Dark Phoenix, played by James McAvoy, is older than Patrick Stewart was when he played Charles Xavier in X-Men 1. Magneto in this movie, played by Michael Fassbender, is 62. I mean, he's a hot-looking 62, I gotta say.
It makes sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
In the X-Men universe, I don't know.
It's time travel, dude. It doesn't add up right.
Benjamin Button. I don't know.
Worse.
Oh, man.
You can't just arbitrarily jump forward a decade and not age the characters.
That one got Mikey. That was a good one. You can hear him. If you didn't hear it, hit the minus 15
yeah,
right
back.
Now. And just in the background, you hear Mikey P. Yeah.
Oh, Benjamin Button.
Good God, Mikey.
Oh, my.
The movie's terrible. And it's centered around, you know, they're trying to do the Phoenix story again.
Again.
And you just don't know who this Jean Grey is. She had two lines in Apocalypse.
Right.
And now it's like, the movie's all about her. And it's like, I don't care about her. So she does the inevitable, and I'm going to spoil it because please don't ever go watch this. When she sacrifices herself to save everybody, it's like, I don't care. Like, good, she's dead. Yay. Now I can stop watching this.
Dude, I was going to watch it.
Yeah, you were.
I probably still will watch it, but that's...
The effects are good. Yeah. Like, everything looks good. I'll give it that much.
Good times.
But Sophie Turner's American accent is terrible and inconsistent.
<It's> like,
she's the one from
Sansa Stark.
Sansa.
Yes.
Yeah, not great.
Do not recommend that one. Huh?
No, I don't.
Got it.
I super don't. Super, super
At least you watch new things, though.
Yeah, well, I want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know? I want to hate something arbitrarily. I want to actually watch it and be justified in my...
I didn't watch anything new.
You watched something old?
I watched Avengers Endgame for the second time.
And?
Still great.
It's better the second time.
Yes.
Right on. Now, did you rent it? It's not streaming anywhere, is it?
No, no. We own it.
I bought
it. You bought it.
Yeah.
You bought it.
Yes.
Right on.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray?
We have digital.
Digital.
Yeah.
So
we have, between my family, we have a Movies Anywhere account, and you just buy a movie and dump it in there so anybody can watch it.
That's cool. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, and so I don't know if you're supposed to be able to do that, but you can't watch it at the same time someone else.
If you buy them on Amazon, you can download them.
Yeah,
it's hard to find, but you can download
now,
them to different devices.
And is there like an app then that you load up?
Yeah, it's on the PlayStation.
Movies Anytime.
I think the PlayStation version is Vudu, but it's kind of the same company. Yeah, Vudu.
I've seen that around.
Yeah,
but that's the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's just for movies and. It's like a digital library for your movies and TV that's not iTunes.
And do you have a unlimited
space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so whenever anybody buys a movie, you just dump it in there and then everyone uses it and watches them. Mm. And so anyway, I hadn't watched it since I saw it the first time in theaters on opening night. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to watch it. Here we go. Let's see how it goes. And it was better. Like, because I remember, like, the beginning dragging, and, like, it's so depressing at the beginning, and, like, get over it. Like, get with the goods. But, like, it's the right amount of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it just in my mind when I was, like, thinking about it, and, like, I think Dallas was saying something when he was here. He's like, the beginning's too depressing and too long, and, like, it doesn't need to be a 3-hour movie and this and that. And I was like, you know what? Watching it again, I was like,
nah, that's the right one.
Everything's there. The only thing that I can take away from what Dallas said is like it does focus on Captain America a lot, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
yeah. The only thing that was weird is like watching it on my TV was fine because I have a pretty decent TV, pretty decent sound system, but the things that were like hype as fuck in the theater. Like, the portal's opening up, and, like, Spider-Man's swinging in, and he, like, lands, and his mask comes off, and, like, everyone's, whoa! Oh, my God, Tom Holland! Yeah, Spider-Man! Like, that hype energy. Yeah. Watching it by yourself in your living room.
It's a different game.
You're like, yay.
Well, like, you don't get any of that. Like, I didn't, the hype was just gone. Right. Because you know it's coming, and it's, as far as filmmaking goes, it was made for that environment.
When you're surrounded by people who
because film knowledge, like in a movie, you don't have somebody just come in and land in silence and like pose.
Yeah.
And have that happen 12 times in a row. Like it doesn't.
Right. Pause.
Right.
Pause for applause.
That's what happens. Like it needs like the woo, like or something. And so it was that moment's weird. Cap like getting the hammer.
Nah, that's still awesome.
It was, but it wasn't as awesome as like the fucking energy in the place. Like,
no.
Oh my God! Like, it was just weird because I will have that memory of seeing that movie in theaters packed on opening night forever.
Yeah.
And so every time that comes up, it's just like, man, that wasn't as good the first time. Because like,
is Endgame the one where Cap gets the hammer and they make the out of Groot's arm, or is that
That's Infinity War, where Thor gets the axe.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Oh, and Cap gets the hammer. That's right. Yes.
Well, and so here's something that I noticed. In that fight scene, Thanos picks up Stormbreaker, and he's going to, like, smash Thor with it.
Yeah.
How is that possible? Is Stormbreaker not the same thing as Mjolnir?
No, because Mjolnir only has that enchantment on it because Odin put
So that's the only one that, like... He wouldn't be able to budge that, right?
Yeah, the rule applies to that.
Because he picked up the hammer or the axe, and he's about to stab Thor in the freaking chest, and then Cap gets the hammer. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't notice that he picked it up before.
If he be worthy, he will have the power of Thor.
But it was dope. But it just wasn't as hype as it was in theater, because it was just like, okay, that happened. But like the other, like I remember like eye rolling at like the girl power scene again in the theaters because it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But like watching it again, I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And with the newer perspective of having heard women talk about it, where it's like, it's only weird because, like, you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not weird when you see all the guys together or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. And so, like, having that, subconsciously in the back of my mind and knowing that it was coming and having it not be as, like, heavy handed, but, like, just as organically as it happens, it's like, okay.
Yeah. I'm okay
like,
with it.
It's
I'll take it.
It just didn't seem out of place anymore as opposed to the first time because you've seen it and you know it's coming, so you're not like, ugh, this is like heavy-handed. Yeah. It just was part of the movie. And I think it's because having those new perspectives of hearing people be like, it should be normal just to see women on screen.
So I haven't rewatched it, like fully rewatched it a second time, but I've heard a lot of like commentary and a lot of like notes. And one of the things that bugs me, and this is something that bugged me about X-Men too, so I'll backtrack just for a second to talk about both of them. The screenwriters for Endgame didn't know what to do with Captain Marvel. Because they're like, now we have this character who's crazy powerful, right, and she could just come in and solve all the problems, right, but we don't want her to do that, so we have to find a way for her to not do that. And it's like, it's always a bummer to know that and to hear that, because like, you had something you didn't really know what to do with it, so you're like, oh, it's just going to like, we're just like arbitrarily like sideline this character for a little right. bit. In the Dark Phoenix, like, Jean Grey like smacks Quicksilver into a wall, and then he's gone for the rest of the movie. Because Quicksilver's powers solve literally everything.
Right.
So it's like, oh, we got to get rid of this guy. So bam, you're gone. Bye now. It's like, cool. Let's not engage with this interesting character anymore because you're not smart enough to write them into your movie.
That's upsetting because...
It works better in Endgame because you do still see her and she has a valid reason for not being there. That makes sense.
She's saving her people.
She's like, everything that's happening here is happening on thousands of other planets. And you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, we can't. Okay.
That's cool. What I was just going to say. Like, yeah, like hearing thing. The reasoning for yeah. it, that, like, oh, we didn't know what to do, so we just kind of wrote her out. Like, yeah. that's dumb that to hear. But watching the movie, when she's like, you know what's going on here? It's happening on thousands of other planets that only yeah. I can get to because they don't have you.
Yeah.
That's a cool yeah. line yeah, or reason yeah. for her to be gone.
Yep.
And it's like, okay. Like, I didn't need to know, like, oh, we didn't know what to do. So.
Right. I never needed to hear that.
Right.
I never needed to tell me that.
Like,
why
it,
say
it
that?
Makes sense in the movie. Like, yeah. you wrote her out. For a good reason, because she's yeah. out saving the fucking universe, not yeah. Earth, because the Earth has Avengers.
Yep.
and plus, like, as far as they know, like, everything solved. Like, sorry, Thanos won. Like, yeah. go off into the universe and start helping other people, because you can't yep. do anything here. There's nothing here.
Yep.
And so it's just dumb that they came out and they're like, we didn't know what to do, so we just made her not yeah. in the movie. It's like, stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only part that is kind of dumb about the girl power scene is like she doesn't need anybody's help.
No, she doesn't need the help.
He's like, "How are you gonna get through there?" And then the line's like, oh, "She'll have help."
She can.
Like she'll have help. Yeah. And like then everyone shows up. Was like, "Well, she could just blast her." She literally just got done shooting through
single-handedly destroyed the entire spaceship,
and then lands.
But
picks
if you
up
need
the
to
gauntlet,
help me, or feel
how
like
you
you're helping
there?
Me.
Yeah, like, I want to lift up my fellow right, women here. Yeah. So, yeah.
But
help.
I mean, it's just cool that it turns out that she did need help because like. She didn't get defeated,
yeah.
but she got stopped because Thanos is a fucking
slightly
smart.
Smart. That's yeah. a cool interaction where he's like, I'll yeah. take this out and bam.
Boom.
Like,
and you see her face like, oh shit, didn't see that coming. Yeah.
yeah.
It was just really yeah. yeah, it was just really fun to watch again. Yeah. And I watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse again.
Oh, it's never a bad thing.
That's to say. It's just like,
watching that again.
It's like 1 hour and 45 minutes of goodness.
Right and now. It was funny because I, my brother got the new Spider-Man, Far From Home. It's out digitally. And
oh, yeah.
That's in there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, I should watch Spider-Man Far
Did you see
From
that
Home.
They released.
And then I watched Spider-Verse instead.
There's an official released trailer for Night Monkey.
That's awesome.
Coming soon in the MCU. Night Monkey.
That's fantastic.
Now, and that's just funny. Not. They're not going to do anything.
No.
It is, or any of those?
It's just for fun.
Like
fun
any of those? Because I was kind of like a little bit shocked just because I'm not nearly as up on comic books as I used to be back in the 70s, mm-hmm. but that those were all actual comic book characters, you know, the bringing out of the different universes.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
Those are all real.
I just, yeah. It was funny. I should have chose Far From Home because I've only seen that once, too. But I was like, you know what? I'm in a Spider-Man kind of mood. Yeah. And I didn't know that was there. And I was like, I want to watch Spider-Verse, which is also on Netflix, by the way.
It is.
But
not
was,
for long.
Right.
No. Watch it while you can.
Yeah. Speaking of, does anybody know if Daredevil is still on there? Like,
the
I know
show?
They,
I think
yeah.
so.
Because yeah. I saw a title card for Luke Cage, and I was like, ooh, Luke Cage is still on here. I was like, I wonder yeah. if Daredevil's still available to view.
I never did finish Daredevil.
Like, I know they got canceled, but, like, does that mean they got canceled and removed it from the server?
I don't think so. I think it's still,
still
there.
On there. Okay.
It's probably still on there.
Right
yeah. But.
Sorry, I forgot my mute button.
How dare you?
The
chef show's legit.
Who cares? I'm just going to listen to your.
But that preview is with Seth Rogen, though.
I haven't seen this one yet.
Oh, no.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Okay, with all the... I totally forgot. What am I looking for again?
Daredevil.
Daredevil, thank you.
Get distracted.
Spider-Verse is so good.
It's still on there.
It's super good.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. But anyway, that's basically all I watched. I don't know if I told you I finished Glow. I finished it. It's so good, dude.
Yeah.
I love that show a lot.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
You will enjoy it immensely. What did you watch, BJ?
The little lady and I, she had kind of gotten into, because there's a new The Deuce season coming up on HBO. The Deuce is set in New York City in the 70s, right around the time when porn was becoming, starting to become mainstream. And Times Square was a real shithole.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very interesting movie, and James Franco plays twin brothers, and they do an excellent, excellent job with it. Like you soon forget and don't even think about that it's
one guy,
one actor, yeah. And they even have scenes with each other that are really tight. Maggie Gyllenhaal is great in it. It's some of the same dudes as The Wire, so they create an environment very, very effectively in the show. But especially for a show that's kind of built around sex and pornography, it's as unsexy as it's anti-sexy.
Right.
That makes sense.
It really kills a lot of things. I guess that's good. But
I mean, Boogie Nights did kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like, this is set around the porno industry, but it's like, ugh.
Yeah, the seedy underbelly of it. Right. That's just like not appealing.
Right.
And so the pimps and prostitutes storylines get very depressing. But it's good. And I think that's why I drifted away from it when I first started watching it. I was like, I'm Marie Kondo'd it, you know. It's like, this doesn't bring me joy.
Right.
So I'm not gonna watch this right now. But Andrea kind of got into, so we watched the whole first couple seasons, two seasons, and now they're into season three now. And it's a good show. It's a very good show. We've been enjoying that.
Nice.
I think to Mikey P's suggestion, I've started watching Homecoming. Is that one that you suggested with Julia Roberts on Prime? Maybe not.
No,
but it's a Julia Roberts show on Prime that I'm about 6 episodes in. I like it at times. It took a little while to kind of figure out where the story was going, but it's pretty good. We'll have to see how it ends. But it's one of these things like you don't know exactly what's going on. They're dealing with these guys who just came back from war from the Middle East, and they're in a program that's supposed to help them adjust to the new to society. But then it turns out that it's a lot more devious than that, and there's a company behind it that they're training them to do stuff and drugs and mind control and all kinds of stuff. So it's an interesting story for sure.
We'll
see how it goes.
How long nowadays do you give a show? So like you seem like you're kind of into it, kind of not. Like you're probably almost done with the first season. Like do you feel obligated to finish it because you genuinely are curious to see how it ends, or are you like
not anymore?
Meh. Like
yeah, especially
6 episodes in, you're like.
Yeah, there's so much other. There's plenty of shows that I've given like several episodes to, and then like meh, and never go back.
But episodes.
But this one, you're like into it enough to where you're
enough.
Kinda,
yeah,
because like you're not really selling it like it's good, but like it's
I'll have to see how it winds up.
So the story's captivating enough to keep you going through at least the first season
for the time being. Yeah.
Whether it comes back for more or not, you're like meh.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
It's so funny because like. I was arguing with Dallas about like Queer Eye, where that first episode was like, it was okay, but it's not like the greatest thing on earth, like everyone says it is. I'm sure if you watch it, all of it, like it's of course going to be uplifting and everything, but it's like, it didn't grab me. There's 10 million other things for me to watch. Why would I just keep watching something that's like, meh?
And things that will grab you.
And that was the same reaction to the show. And I felt like Like Rich, I love Rich. It insists upon itself.
So you know what they're trying to do.
They're right. trying to garner these emotions from these guys. And especially that first episode, it felt like all of a sudden the dude who they're saving, you know, all of a sudden he's like, you guys. And it just seemed to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this seems a little forced and
a little manufactured. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure it's good and it's got a positive message and all this stuff. And I'm grateful for that.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, meh, I don't need to watch it.
Yeah.
And if it pops up again and I do watch it and I like it, then good for them. But like, I got to watch Glow and I got to watch Mrs. Maisel season 2 and I got to watch Mindhunter and I got to watch it. And it's like, well, I can't watch it all, so I might as well watch the stuff that hooks me. So I'm like you said, 4 episodes, Rich.
Yeah,
like into a show where you're like, okay.
But because there are those shows. Like I just started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and the first episode, I'm like, ha, this is hilarious. I'm gonna keep watching this show.
Right, I'll give it another episode and see if it keeps up. Right.
Yeah,
and
that's when I gotta start putting on for like background music, background stuff. So I'm watching more things too.
Nice.
You know, you were talking about how you miss. Entourage.
Yeah.
Ballers is Entourage.
Ballers is grown up Entourage.
Yeah.
Really? I told you this.
It's totally Entourage.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so.
How sportsy is it? Is it
super sportsy?
Is it as sportsy as Entourage's movie?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
It is.
And yes, it is.
I mean, it's just jam packed with like real sports people.
Yeah. Right. Lots of cameos.
Because Entourage is about the movie industry that takes place 0% in the movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's so.
But I have the same problem
Vince
with it.
Vince's going to do the movie. God.
I have the same problem with it that I have with Entourage, where they're annoying in their, like, so cool and so hip and so, you know, I don't know, so insider Hollywood.
Like, I would say
is there a Johnny Drama, like, loser character that's, like, there?
Well, I mean, like.
Because like Johnny Drama saves.
Yeah, but they
Entourage.
Don't let him be a loser for too long.
Right.
So like the Ricky character is like a wide receiver who feels like he's trying to sign so far the entire show so far. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm 3 seasons in, and it just goes on and on and on, and there's like, here you go, 3 years, $36 million. This is the best deal in the world. I don't feel good about it.
Show me the money.
And then all of a sudden he's like, I want to play for the Patriots where I'm going to get $1 million a year. You know,
I want to win.
Yeah. Cause now I'm thinking about the Hall of Fame and all like,
yeah,
it's so some of that is like not so appealing, but The Rock is great. Sometimes I feel like a little bad,
he's
like for him,
charismatic. And
he's super charismatic. And I feel like if he were an attractive woman, I would feel, I shouldn't. Cause I do. I feel bad in almost the same way. Where if you see an attractive woman in a role where you feel like they're almost forced to do sexy stuff, where they maybe, because and like
The Rock is kind of relegated to looking like kind of a meathead and being kind of a meathead, even though he's capable of more. Or?
More just like they sexualize The Rock a lot more than you ever see in anything else.
True.
And so part of me is like, I don't know if I don't, and I don't feel. Like he's that comfortable doing it. Like when I watch him doing it, I don't feel like he's like at home in his element.
I believe that.
Yeah. I feel like he's like a little embarrassed by it. So that there's that kind of angle to it, but it's entertaining. And Rob Corddry is a lot of fun to watch.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. They have a good thing. Like those two together, like have a really good thing together. And,
yeah.
And it's definitely entertaining. So I haven't finished it yet or caught up to it yet, but
it was kind of fell off of it for a little while.
It was
just
one of those.
There's just so many other things again. Things to watch.
And it gets a little repetitive in a way. And there's always like a new thing that they're working on. And they work on the storyline of trying to get the Raiders to Vegas.
Yeah.
And but it's fun. I think.
How many seasons is it?
I want to say
I think they're on
4 or 5.
I think it's 5 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of those shows that looked good, and I just never. Got around to it.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
So enjoy it.
I've been watching that too.
Nice.
Was there anything else that I was watching?
I started season 3 of The Good Place.
Yeah.
Because it's available now on Netflix and on Hulu. And I'm like, ooh, and the new season's coming out next week, I think.
Is it?
Fucking final. And it's the last season.
Jesus.
And so the twist of this one, I was like, damn, didn't see that twist coming either.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think I'm 1, maybe 2 episodes into this season.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, again, I'm like, wait, what? oh, this is different. Yeah. So
I was talking about The Good Place with my niece and with Bella, and we're both like, where are you going to, like, they were just, she was kind of applauding that this is going to be the final season.
Right.
Like, which is really a great thing.
It's like, amazing that they've managed to keep, like, once you, when you look at it on paper, like, the premise for the season, first season is like, well, how long could this really go?
Right.
Not long.
And
yeah.
then they find another thing. Oh, okay. And
yeah. They give it, yeah, they give it a new direction where you're like, okay, okay.
But I'm,
this isn't sustainable, but okay.
So glad they're like, four seasons and then we're done. I'm like,
that,
yes.
That is applaudable.
You'll keep the show great. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I'm an infant. So it's the Glee. Yeah, it's the Glee problem. Anyway, so in Glee, the band name was New Direction, and you just said that with the show they take it in a new direction.
Uh-huh.
But when you say that in normal words, you say New Direction, and it sounds like nude erection. And so when you said,
you are a child.
When you said, hello. Yeah, they take it in a new direction. I'm like,
New Direction.
I mean, it is the best time.
So stupid.
I took off in my pants.
Funny.
It feels awesome.
But every time they said it in Glee, New Direction, I'm like, why
new
is that
direction.
Your name? Why is that your name?
There's lots of combinations of words where you're like, you know, that sounds just like
it's so
this.
Dumb. So. Oh my God.
Just carry a recorder around with you.
And the weird thing, so back to the stuff we're watching, Samantha really loves the British Bake Off.
Mm-hmm. We watch
Great
that.
Great British Baking Show is
right.
what it's called. And some podcasts I was listening to is like, why do people like this so much? Is it because they say funny British words, or is it because the da-da-da? And I was like, I asked Samantha, I was like, why do you like it? And she's like, well, A, I like baking shows because that's my life. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Legitimate.
But like, what about this baking show as opposed to like Cupcake Wars or all the other thousands of baking shows?
A lot of them.
And it's that everyone is just genuinely happy to be there. And it's not like a last minute kind of a challenge. It's like you have a week to figure out how you're going to make whatever.
I like that.
See you on Saturday.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, it's so positive. The whole thing yeah. about it's positive.
It's not cutthroat. It's very
right.
like, oh, let me help you. And, you know.
Yeah. And the judges aren't mean. Like, and when they are quote unquote mean, it's just like, well, this looks bad. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to destroy your life, but like, you know, this doesn't look good. And yeah. it tastes amazing, but. When it's based on the appearance of this one, like, sorry, you didn't win this round, so we'll see you the next round. And there's three rounds, and so it's not like instant eliminate. Like, there's just a lot of things that show does right. But she really loves that show. And then when she found out the new season was coming out, she's like, oh, sweet. It's going to be on Netflix. And
that's
then
sweet.
They're releasing it one
yeah.
episode
that's
at
what
a time.
That's what we're watching. Yeah, we're watching that.
And Samantha's like, she's like, new season, yes, and clicked on it and watched the first one, and then she went to click again, and she's like, wait, what? And she's like, why do I have to wait? Netflix doesn't do this, and it's one of, like, I think two or three shows huh. that they're experimenting with delayed weekly episodic releases.
Do you have, you and Samantha, and you and Lindsay uh-huh. have separate profiles
yes.
on Netflix?
No.
Yes.
You don't?
Nope.
Really?
You guys just have the one. So do you ever get on Samantha's and look at and like just see what's on like
her like
yeah,
watch thing?
Yeah. And what's kind of fed to hers?
I don't ever click on it, but like I'm sitting right there because like when I hand over the remote, she switches to her profile huh. and it's all true crime and horror and like stuff
right.
like that, and like the baking shows and stuff.
You'll see shows that you
right.
wouldn't have seen on your
exactly,
own.
Exactly, 100%.
And that's how, yeah, when I'm on Andrea's one, she, yeah, it's, the shows come up. I'm like, huh?
Right.
Chelsea Handler's got a show coming up that I didn't see on mine, where she looks into white privilege.
I think I heard something about that.
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to kind of see some of it. I don't like Chelsea Handler. Like, she just seems like an asshole.
I think Katie Couric did something like that, too.
Huh.
Like a series of documentaries or something. Anyway, I don't know.
I did watch also.
Are you looking it up? Yeah.
I don't know if we'll use it, but I'll look it up.
Yeah.
To settle the debate, get over it. I watched that today.
Yes. So. Yes, you did.
And you guys were both right.
It's awful, but it's great, right?
Yeah.
Martin Short kills it.
Martin Short is fun.
Yeah.
The whole movie is not good in general.
It's fantastic.
In general, it's just not good.
Truth.
But it's cotton it's candy. Fun. Yeah, it's cotton candy. It's like you watch it and there's stuff to it. Everybody's a little over the top. His love interest, too, he's like his girlfriend.
Allison.
She's just kind of flat on screen. She's just very like.
Which why? I think it's intentional in the fact that you have Kirsten Dunst, who's charming
who
as all
just
get
jumps
out.
Off the screen. Yeah. Like, yeah. She's like.
I think that's the purpose.
I wonder. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Porpoise.
Maybe. But yeah.
But I mean, Ben Foster's not the most charming person either.
He is not. He's not.
He's got all the charm of stepping on a nail.
I don't know why. I'm thinking that the whole time. Like,
right?
This guy is not.
Why are we following this person?
He's not attractive. He's not like charming. He doesn't have like a wit.
There's nothing.
Yeah. Where Colin Hanks is like likable.
Yeah,
I mean,
good.
Like he's like a good.
He's
just
a goofy
good.
Sidekick. Yeah.
He's good. Yeah. So, yeah, that love triangle there. And then the boy band guy is just so
Shane
over the
West, man.
So over the
classic.
Top.
He's way over the top.
But
it's fun.
It's fun.
And the actual musical is fun too.
And see
with the stupid dance numbers, and they put a boy band number in there because Forest Oates is like closetedly gay.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Cisco,
good stuff. Yeah. Cisco.
Dude, he does the one armed cartwheel in the movie.
Yeah,
you can't beat it.
Yeah. And Vitamin C, who
is the opening scene great?
Yeah. So Vitamin C, I was like looking her up because I was like, so she's in. Yeah, and that opening scene is legit.
Yes.
One take thing.
And then the rest of the movie happens.
But I remember it's like Vitamin C, and that's she's in that, and then she's in the very end singing. So all she does is come up and sing a song.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had to Google her.
Good day of shooting for her, probably.
Probably, yeah. Maybe 2 days, maybe.
Yeah.
That's probably a couple. Yeah.
Did
one
Frank
take
just
down.
Give you a heart attack?
It takes some time.
He just jumped up on my leg. So like, what the hell is that? Like, I thought something was falling out of my pocket, and I'm like, it's
good boy, Frank.
It's a dog.
It's a little Frankie.
That's funny.
But anyway, you guys are both right.
Yeah.
So
it's fun, but it's terrible.
Right.
Of course.
So terrible.
Did you find anything on the Katie Couric thing?
Yeah, she has a docu-series called America Inside Out, but it deals with all sorts of things, political correctness, Me Too, that type of stuff.
But she, like, goes into the lion's den on them, I think, right?
Yeah. She goes out there and document it.
What's it on?
In great detail.
Where can we find it?
That is a good question. I'm looking at the Variety article, and it says...
I wonder if she's still under contract
with
NBC.
I bet it's Netflix.
Oh...
Because while we're on the political topic, I also watched The Manchurian Candidate.
That's the new one or the old one?
There's a new one.
There's an old one.
The old one, the black and white one.
Oh, the old one.
Is there three?
An old one? No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Two.
So it's like Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
And then there's Frank Sinatra.
Denzel, Liev Schreiber, Meryl Streep.
That's the one I know. Yeah. I thought there was a.
I saw them both, and I liked the old one better.
Huh. I like the new one better.
So
I do.
But it's a fun.
But I'm also not. By and large, into the old style of acting.
I could go
in a lot of ways.
I could watch all of it for days. Yeah, dude, that came up.
It's a good movie, though.
It's fun. They're both good.
They're both very good.
They're both good.
The old versus new conversation came up at work with one of my supervisors. She's a young lady. She's 20 years old. Or not 20. She was born in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my... other coworkers is an older gentleman, and he was like talking about Abbott and Costello and how they're super funny.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, "Who?" And we were like, "Ah,
yeah.
How do you not know Abbott and Costello?" And
somebody born in 1990 should know who Abbott and Costello.
So she's 29 now.
But we went on a big tirade about like, "Have you seen this? Do you know what this is? Mm-hmm. Do you know who's on first?" And she's like, "I think so." And I was like, "You think so? Like, you either know that bit or you don't."
Yeah.
And it went into this whole thing about how that is always funny. Like, there are some things in classic comedy that is just funny and will forever be funny,
mm-hmm.
no matter, like, people could watch it and be like, it's black and white, this is dumb. And it's like, just give it 5 seconds, and, like, it's funny.
It's a brilliant
you will
bit.
Think it's funny. And, like, we just started talking about, like, I Love Lucy, how, like, some of the... like some of the things in that show don't add up, where it's like they have twin beds and like that whole thing where they don't talk about sex and like some of the stuff doesn't necessarily translate well, but the comedy is still there. The physical comedy of like mm-hmm. too many chocolates coming in, and like her getting more and more drunk with every take. Like yeah. that stuff is still funny.
Yeah. Right. Major minor.
And so it's like funny, like how a modern day comedy. Like I don't think a modern day comedy, like take Get Over It for example. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily age well, but it's like there's some jokes that are still funny, but it's not as funny as like the older vaudeville style comedy.
Less and less new timeless. Things will be classic.
Right, which is kind of an interesting take that like that's the best way to say it. Less yeah. and less things will become classic, yeah. and the classics will stay classics.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what's classic in the last 20 years. Like
Lord of the Rings.
Is it?
Yeah, yep. that'll age on forever.
And because, but for a
maybe
number of
some of the special effects might
comedy wise
for
like,
a number of reasons.
Ooh, yeah, like a classic comedy.
Yeah.
I can't even think. I mean, it's hard to think off the top of your head, but like.
I mean, because when I think of like classic comedy,
it wasn't super or widely popular, but I would say Kiss Kiss Bang Bang will age very well. Will probably always be funny and good.
That's pretty good.
That's Robert Downey
yeah. and Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
That's look at the word idiot in the dictionary. You know what you're going to find? What, a picture of me? No, the definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are.
Nice.
Oh, man. I'm just trying
bits
to think of
that
like,
will live forever.
Gay right. Perry is so already gay. He's like, no, I'm knee-deep in pussy. I just like the name.
No, oh, it, like, it's. It. I think it's because we're on the spot trying to think of something, but, yeah. like...
It's a good thought. It's a good something to think of. Like, is there something in the last 20 years, even in any capacity?
I mean, that's a right. wide range of time.
That is. That is. But you could go 30 years.
Right.
Like, what out of from the 90s, from when your friend was born, from the 90s till today, what right. what would be considered
a classic.
Classic or could possibly become classic? And like, you know, there's like movies like especially, Silence of the Lambs. Like right. that would probably yeah. be a one that lasts for a long time.
Or like Shawshank. But Shawshank, like, but yeah. these are dramas and it's much easier for a drama to become a classic. Mm-hmm. And those are both period pieces of sorts.
Because how yeah. we feel about like that's funny, things like wrongful imprisonment and like murder and like love and like the way we feel about those things don't tend to change.
Right.
But the
right.
way we feel about comedy changes all the time.
Right.
Especially right now.
Yes. Especially right now, where right like now. Ace Ventura is in my mind one of the funniest movies ever,
uh-huh.
but like the homophobia and the transphobia and all that stuff yeah. doesn't really play. But it's
yeah.
like
yeah.
one of the funniest movies ever made. Yeah. But it's like, ooh,
can I ask you a question?
I know my answer
right.
for a classic comedy,
all right.
and it is Super Troopers.
Mm-hmm.
I think Super Troopers will age very well, literally. And I think it will always be funny every time I see it.
So far,
like so I can't far, think so like just running it through my head. Candy I can't bars. Really think of anything that's a problem.
You mentioned like oh well yeah with that
yeah.
but you mentioned period pieces and
right
and see for in my head I went to like Everybody Hates Chris like it very much has that kind of Wonder Years vibe to it
right.
and that to me is kind of a classic and
yeah.
I think that. The Chris Rock.
Some of the, I guess maybe some TV shows. I don't know. Like, there were a lot of good. Malcolm in the Middle was
right.
really funny.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good choice. I recently
yeah,
watched
I wasn't,
all
I wasn't even trying to
I
think
very
of TV
recently
shows.
Watched all of that, and it yeah. very much still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are just good bits
very
and
much still
good
holds up.
Good cast and
yeah.
just.
Cranston.
Yeah.
Well acted.
Really well done.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking of TV shows.
I wasn't either at first.
I was trying to think of like movies.
Movies might be a harder sell to find a classic comedy that came out in the last 30 years.
Right. Well, I mean, I Love Lucy is a TV show.
Clueless.
Right.
That's pretty good. I need to see it again.
Mean Girls.
That's good.
I mean, certainly they have like the weight of it, like in culture, like people like. Let's watch Mean Girls. Let's, you know, and so.
Well, even if you haven't ever seen Mean Girls, you probably know if somebody says, like, oh, she's such a Regina George yeah. or something along those lines.
Stop
or
trying
like,
to make it happen. It's never going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right. Like, there's things that.
She doesn't even go here.
Over the culture. But that doesn't necessarily make it classic.
Right. See, like, Jay and Silent Bob make me laugh, like, every time I watch
that's
it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's a classic or widely.
That's more of like. That's more of like a classic as, like.
Yeah.
Jane Silent Bob is like
Clerks
a classic.
Is already seen as a classic in
yeah,
a lot of ways.
In the fact that Blazing Saddles is a classic comedy.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this won't fly today, but it's still regarded as one of the funniest movies of all time. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Jay and Silent Bob, where like some of the stuff might not fly today because it's horribly offensive or whatever, but it's still really funny. So I think that's kind of, so that could, yeah, that's a pretty good choice. Anyway.
It's a topic for another show.
It's just it's just cool, like having that conversation about like who's on first, and like having that go down, and like, oh yeah, and then they did all the classics, like, you know, Abbott and Costello meet Dracula, or Frankenstein, or The Mummy, and it's like, these are hilarious movies. And she's like, no idea. And I was like, ah, like Marx Brothers. You know any of the Marx Brothers movies? No. Ugh. Like
I don't know if I've seen a Marx Brothers movie
like ever.
Yeah, like I can't.
What?
Not in a very long time.
Well, yeah, it's, for me, it's been a very long time, but wow.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you a Marx Brothers movie.
Do you know any of the joke, like the classic jokes? Like this morning, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How I got my pajamas, I never know.
I'll never know.
It's so good.
It was not 20 years ago, but
a classic
Monty Python.
Ooh, yeah. Yep.
This parrot has ceased to be. It is an ex-parrot.
I'm not dead.
No, he's quite dead.
So it just it was interesting. And, like, she doesn't know. She didn't have. Cause it was a whole, like, you know, where did the age, like, click over where she doesn't remember cassettes or anything? Like, she has CDs. Mm, right. And, like, that was her first introduction to music with CDs.
Right.
I'm like, that's weird. Like, it's a weird thing. Because you think of, like, kids don't know that stuff. But, like, she's 30. And, like...
And cassettes are never, I don't think, ever going to come back.
Right.
I mean, vinyl clearly
is... No. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding, but I could be wrong.
No,
easily.
Like, there is, like, high school kids of today, like... are way into cassettes.
Really?
High school kids of today are stupid.
Yeah, well.
I know that vinyl's kind of cool.
I've seen them,
cool.
It's true.
It's crazy. I'm all, what are you doing? But they eat them up. They're like, their sounds better. I'm all, what?
Well, I mean, what I like about it, what I miss about
wrong.
It was
I don't get
mixtapes.
It.
I mean, mixtapes were the jam. Like, you know, and it was like your own little, like, your little bit of being a DJ and being creative. And editing little bits in there, and like getting
the perfect message,
getting the timing just right. Yes, I made you mixtape. See what you think.
Yeah. So. That's so stupid. Like records and vinyl, I understand. And we even had and we were even having this conversation. I was like, records and vinyl make sense. And if you want to hear this song, you can count the grooves and like, oh, so I want to hear song three. You know that song three starts right here because it has the gap. You can drop a needle and start there. Yeah. A cassette, you're like, I want to hear song six. Fast forward, rewind. Fast forward, rewind. Fast forward. You can't listen to it while it's doing it. So it sucks. Like trying to find the song you want.
It. Yeah, yes. It stretches it out.
Trying to find the song you want on a cassette sucks.
And you have to put some fucking scotch
CDs
tape on
make
it,
sense.
Put it back
vinyl
together.
Makes sense.
And
MP3s you just
miss that
make
part
sense.
Of the song.
Cassettes suck. They were the worst ones.
They're worse. They're terrible.
I mean,
A-track was pretty bad. You couldn't fast forward or rewind.
Right.
Yeah. So to like play it and hope and wait.
Hey, but you got to hit that channel select
change
like
tracks,
four
yeah.
times.
Yeah. And it go right in the middle, right in the middle of a song.
Yeah.
Speaking of nostalgia and music, the Old Globe is opening an Almost Famous musical very soon.
Oh yeah,
I'm curious about that.
They're obviously trying to fast track to Broadway.
Right. Yeah, it's just funny, like the whole nostalgia thing. And it's really popular. Things like, you know, reminiscing of the 80s and TV shows and movies that take place in that time era.
Yeah.
To the point even like video games are doing it.
Yeah.
Like new video games are coming out with the 8-bit pixelation. And it's or like all the retro systems
all
are coming out
most,
and like
all the most popular for download games on Switch are in like the 2D classic.
Yeah, they're the classic.
Like it's very the animation is incredibly polished because it's modern, but that's
see they
the
should have more
of
those available for your phone. Your phone can certainly process.
They're
those
starting
things.
It.
Yeah,
like, Nintendo's. You're about to play Mario Kart on your phone starting
Mario
next
Kart Tour.
Week.
All right.
I think it comes out next week.
Come on, guys.
Dude, right? Yeah, let's all play Mario Kart right now on your phone. Now, I just hope it's legit Mario Kart because when they released Mario Dash,
mm-hmm.
what was that game called?
On
you
your
remember?
Phone?
Yeah.
Not
and it was like the first Nintendo game.
It wasn't really a Mario game.
And it was like he was just constantly running.
Yeah.
Right. And it was levels and you had to get the coins and stuff and you had to time your jumps and everything. And it was cool. But, like, they wanted you to pay extra money to get all the levels and stuff. And I'm like, well, this is dumb. And then the game itself wasn't Mario. And yeah. so I was like, yeah. So I just really hope that when Mario Kart comes out, you can just legit race people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to play Galaga and Centipede and those games. Like
Mario Party.
They just released the Super Nintendo emulator on Switch. Metroid.
Super Metroid's one of the best games of all time. Yeah. F-Zero. Super Nintendo is my favorite system of all time.
All the hits are on there.
Yeah.
Super Mario World.
I think it's because Yoshi's Island. The one that I really grew up with. Yeah. That's probably why it's my favorite.
Yeah, lots of good memories on it.
It's the one that I remember, like, my brothers and I getting it for Christmas and, like, freaking the fuck out.
Which one had RC Pro-Am on it?
Nintendo proper. Yeah, Nintendo Entertainment System.
That's, because that one, like, I never had a Nintendo.
Dude, you hit the oil slick? Fuck! Yeah.
I just remember playing it with four people at a time.
Oh, yeah.
And every race came down to the last second. Like, will you hit a turbo right at the last second? And, just having so much fun. And listening to Rage Against the Machine on a cassette. Mm-hmm. And on the other side was Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, Michael Franti, who's one of my heroes. And we just flipped it back and forth over. And that was the first time hearing both of them. And we just played it and listened over and over again. It's just burned in my memory
My favorite Nintendo memory was because everybody had the one friend that had the track and field, like the actual mat.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, wow.
Dude, nobody ever ran. You just pounded on it with your hands.
I ran. Fuck no. I'm doing it the right way.
Dude, I cheated. I cheated like a motherfucker, dude.
I'd be in my
get on your hands and knees and pound that shit.
No way. I was running. I was good at that, too. Oh, man. I missed that game.
Oh, good times. It's like Duck Hunt. Like, Duck Hunt is so fun. It was such one of the most simple games. But you literally can't play that game because they can't make, or at least they don't have the tech. But it worked because the light gun worked with the rays in the TV, and, like, it just it doesn't work on an LED screen. Like, it won't work.
It's not the same.
So I'm just curious if they could ever make that happen again. Because the same thing with the arcade shooters, like, they work because they have the old tube TVs in there, and that's how they react to it. And so it's like you can't do that on modern day HD TV. So it's interesting. Anyway, we've rambled it enough about nothing here at the end. But we do have one more thing.
Before you do that,
damn it!
I'm sorry. Just a quick one about going back to America's Inside Out. I'm going to give you one more guess at it because it is not Netflix. One more guess. What do you think it is?
That's the Katie Couric show, right?
Yep.
Crackle.
It's not Netflix. It's got to be
Hulu.
Nope.
HBO.
Nope.
Not, and it's not.
You're never going to get it. It's National Geographic.
Oh, okay.
To be released on Netflix. Produced by National Geographic.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're about to start watching Ken Burns' country music. We've got a bunch of them recorded on PBS.
Yeah, I'm curious.
And what's fun to watch is I'm not that into country music. And never have been.
Sure.
But
not even like the old stuff? Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard?
I like Johnny Cash a lot.
Hank Williams? None of that.
It's just, yeah. I've
George
just
Street.
Never been that exposed to it. And I've always had an opinion about it that was not positive. That it was just like, but I'm trying to like not do that. But anyway, we talked about Mike Judge's Tales from the Tour Bus.
Right.
And they do a whole first season is about country music. And it's just fun. And it's really fun. And a lot of it's good stuff. And a lot of it, that music is married to all the other musics that you love. You know, and so there's connections. You connect the dots between music styles. Country music is right there with blues and R&B and a lot of the stuff that you would, that I would think
is
I like.
Part of the reason that you say you don't like it because of the prejudice of the like Southern connection to like
absolutely
okay
yeah absolutely like so yeah so when I go in and think about country music I'm like I wouldn't want to go to a country music concert a bunch of cowboy wearing you know racists
right.
that's my prejudice
right
I mean it's a total prejudice
but. Like, some of the more popular stuff, like Garth Brooks songs that come on the radio, like, you don't not like it because of the way it sounds.
No, that's the way I don't
or,
like
it. Yeah, I mean, like, I can't tell you.
Like, when they started
I really
playing.
I can't tell you because I don't know if it's because of my prejudice.
Right.
Or if it's actually, it doesn't ring my bell.
Right.
You know.
I would understand why the modern stuff doesn't appeal to people because it basically all sounds the same anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like the older stuff, when like country started to become more mainstream on the pop stations, like when they would do like here's Shania Twain and here's Garth Brooks and here's John Michael Montgomery, and like the 90s were like the height of like the pop stuff.
And if you recall, that I missed that entire decade.
Right, Dixie Chicks came out then
on music.
Yeah. A lot of the vocal quality just doesn't really appeal to me.
The heavy twang and all that stuff.
But it's not. That's not always true. Like sometimes, like, all right, this song is good. Like I kind of like this one, but you know, you go on to the next one. I'm like, I really don't like the way this sounds.
Right.
But yeah, like Patsy Cline and stuff. Like, God, it's just beautiful. Yeah. Like beautiful stuff. And so I'm looking forward to seeing this and expanding my horizons.
That's awesome. So. Totally randomly going back to
what you're watching.
Yeah, that's good. No, back to what's up. I forgot about it. But we went to Sequan Resort because it's a resort now. It is. And they do this thing called the River. The river?
Lazy River?
I don't know. I think that's what the event is called. It's like a music concert that costs $10 to get in, and it's like a pool party. It was like
interesting.
There's a big pool. Awesome. There's lazy rivers. There's hot tubs. All this stuff. And I was
a band.
And a band playing live. And I was like, I don't really fit in here.
because
it was like. Kind of got like the vibe that it was like a Vegas pool party, like a singles party.
Oh, okay.
Not really. Like it was a shitloads of couples and stuff there, but it just got the vibe of like
spring break.
Kind of.
They do that at the Lafayette too.
It was really fun.
I've had friends like, oh, we should go to the. I'm like, not my scene, but fun.
It was really fun and like getting a beer and like floating around the river and listening to the band. And she's like an unknown country star, Janet Kramer. And she has one or two quote-unquote hit songs that I kind of recognized. But, like, just the vibe of it was, like, floating around with my wife in a lazy river drinking beer while she's, like, jamming out to music. I was like, this is fun. Then you look over there, and there's, like, 17, 20-something, like, exactly, like, men and women wearing nothing.
Caboo anyone?
Where it's like, wait, I'm just going to be in this river. Like, I'm just going to float around.
I'm an actual dad at this point.
Right. Whereas, like, you look over there, and it's like, wow, those are a lot of really good-looking young people that are just having a good time. And then there's me floating around, like, I'm just going to relax in this pool.
Quite enjoyable.
But, you know they're like, who's that creepy guy?
I don't care. Because it was really fun. It was really fun, and neither of us have anybody to impress. And the people watching was fantastic. And, like, not just for the fact that, like, they're young people making asses of themselves, but, like, they're all good looking. So, like, yeah, it was a fun show to, like, see a bunch of hot people. Bring it on.
I like hot people.
Right. Like, it was just fun all around.
Good for
$10. It was $10. Like, so you can't really beat it. Anyway, that was it.
Tony, the number is.
That's what's up. Right? That's what's up. But anyway.
Mikey P. recommends.
I'm calling an audible since we're talking about music. I'm going to pull out a documentary that's available on Amazon Prime. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Running Down the Dream. Or Running Down a Dream, sorry.
Running Down a Dream.
I have questions. No, you don't.
I have questions, too. Can I ask one question? Is it like an old school behind the music? I know.
I will add that it's directed by Peter Bogdanovich, who is a pretty well-known director, director. So.
Yes.
What did he direct?
Last Picture Show was probably, I mean, like old.
He's
old
an old guy, older guy.
Yeah. But amazing documentary.
Yeah.
Right on.
I bet those guys knew what was up. But thanks, everyone out there, for listening to our show. But we're going to go ahead and get out of the garage. So this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Mike.
And we'll see you on the couch. Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do?
It's a helpful thing to use.
Okay, all right.